Mohasha, yeah, from 12 onwards. Just a quick revision. Bhagwan said in verse 11 that there are some fools, some mudaha, who disrespect me, who do not recognize me as the supreme reality. And such people then, they have vain hopes, false hopes. And I explained to you, false hope is like trying to get grapefruit juice from an orange. That's a false hope. You're never going to get it. Okay. In our case, what we are doing is, just one second. In our case, what we are doing is we are trying to get happiness from the world. And the world is inert and it can never ever give us happiness. So Moghasha. Because that hope is vain, they are going and doing all these actions to get that happiness. So that action is also becoming vain. Because all that action is fruitless because it's not there. It's the happiness is not there. And then their knowledge, which is telling them that it is there, is a vain knowledge. It is not correct knowledge. It is delusory knowledge. So vigata chetasa is intellect. So they do not have the discrimination to know that where the real happiness is and where it is not. Their efforts are being put into the wrong direction, and therefore the efforts are becoming vain. And such people are rakshasi and asuri tendencies, both kind of meaning the same, those who are very, very body oriented. So those who think that the body is real, those who think that I am the body, those who think that Atma only is body, then everything they will do is for the body, for the maintenance of the body, beautification of the body, etc., etc. And prakritim mohinim cha. So they are deluded. This is delusion. In contrast to this delusion, there are some Mahatmas, some great persons, O Partha, who are of Daivi Prakruti. This Daivi and Asuri Prakruti will, in great detail, he will tell in chapter 16. It will come in 16. 16 is all about Daivi and Asuri Prakrutis. So anyway, here he says there are some who have the Daivi, the divine, means predominantly Sattvic personality. So what Sattva does is Sattva gives a correct evaluation of situations. That is what Sattva does. In Rajas, Rajasic mind is like a murky water. So things are not very clear. So when the mind is very Rajasic, very agitated, then the situation is not seen in its correct perspective. That's what happens in Rajas. In Tamas, the situation is totally seen as opposite, something which is not there only, you know, it's total delusion. So those who are of Sattvic Prakriti, they do understand where the happiness is, where it's not. And then that's why what they do is knowing that it bhutadim avyayam, knowing that I am that imperishable substratum in this entire world, they worship me. Okay, so this is Nyatva. Here is the realization, and the next verse is how they do his bhajan. Last time when I explained to you, yes, this is how they do it, satatam kirtayanto mam, but from our standpoint, what should we do? Because we have not reached that stage, and that's why I gave you those different methods. It's not that the Mahatma is following those methods. He doesn't have to. He has done it all. Okay, but for us, if we think that we are knowledge oriented, then we must try to see that substratum in everywhere. Satatam kirtayanto, how will that happen? How will nobody can physically sit and sing bhajans 24/7? Nobody can. Okay, so what is the meaning of satatam here? Through knowledge, if you are knowledge oriented, you must be able to see the substratum in all. If you are bhakti, heart oriented, you must see your Ishta Devata in everybody. So there is no misunderstanding. There is no conflict. There is no fight. There is no hurt because you're seeing your Ishta Devata everywhere. If you are a yogi, hatha yogi, you're trying to control the gunas. So you're trying to go over sattva, rajas and tamas. That is also same thing because God is beyond sattva, rajas. Pure consciousness is beyond sattva, rajas and tamas. So the yogi, the hatha yogi is trying to go beyond. And karma yogi, he is offering all his actions and results, more importantly, results to the Lord. So that way, when we follow those things, then we can come under Satatam Kirtayanto Mam. We also are trying to constantly worship him through our karma. Because nobody can sit at the altar and then worship 24 hours. Nobody can sit and sing bhajans 24 hours. Okay? That's not possible. Then Dhradavrataha, it's these Mahatmas are very firm of firm resolution. But the point for us is then we should also have a firm resolution that I am going to do this. So a certain amount of reading on a daily basis, certain parameters in our behavior, certain, you know, we go for parties, we must decide that we are going to come back early. As spiritual seekers, we cannot indulge in those, we should not. So that's the firm resolution that we must have. Namasyantascha mam. So it's a complete surrender. Na mama. Namaha is na mama. Namaskar is na mama, not mine. So there is nothing which is mine except my ego. Everything else is yours. That understanding, when it comes, it becomes namasyatascha mam. And bhaktya nitya yukta upas. So through devotion, nitya yukta, I told you, nitya is there is a kutasa nitya and a pravahi nitya. So nitya yukta can only apply to a person who recognizes the kutasa nitya. That substratum which is totally unchanging, not a pravahi nitya like the river. And then they upasate, they worship me. Now in 15, which we had just touched upon it, we'll see a bit more detail. We had read it. So one of the things that I told you in the beginning also, that this chapter, Bhagwan tells us how to worship or how people worship him. And this is what upasate word is there, the previous verse. So the upasakas means the ones who are worshipping, either they are doing it through jnana yajna, okay? Or then they are doing it ekatvena, prathaktvena, and bahudha vishvato. So the line two, it gives three different modes of worship. This jnana yajna is, we were having a jnana yajna and somebody called me and said, are you going to have a havan? See, when we say yajnana, the people think it's there is the fire ritual and all that. So I said, no, we don't have, that is not our this thing. And what Gurudev described, he took the word from the Bhagavad Gita. That's why our Gita jnana yajna goes on. Or when we call Swamiji's, we say there's a jnana yajna. He says, in the fire of knowledge, we have to offer our ignorance. Like in the fire, we offer oblations physically. We do that in a yajna. But our jnana yajna is not a physical fire. It is the fire of knowledge that is going to be kindled in our mind through the lectures. And in that fire, our ignorance has to be destroyed. And that becomes a jnana yajna. That is, the oblation is the ignorance and the fire is the knowledge. So jnana yajna refers to shravanam and mananam. That's why I told you, when you attend class and you listen and I speak, it is not jnana yajna. It is karma. It is falling under karma. Jnana yajna is only at the intellect level. So the shravanam is happening, understanding is happening, and then the mananam happens. In that shravan and manan, it's like, you know, they used to churn buttermilk, yogurt. With that, the rod used to be there and the rope used to be there. And they would go, you know, like this, like this, like this. So that sort of, that is what mananam is, churning in the mind what we hear. So we hear Guru is telling us, I'm not the body. Then I think, oh, I'm not the body. Oh, but how can I not be the body? Oh, but maybe I am, maybe I'm not. So this churning is what has to happen in the mind. And that churning is a friction. So that friction will cause fire. Fire means not a physical fire in the mind, the fire of knowledge. In that fire of knowledge, the tamas of ignorance will get burned. And then that becomes a jnana yajna. Okay? So, cha api anne yajanto mam upasa. So, some of them, they worship me through jnana yajna, through mananam. So, what are they doing is they're constantly thinking of the supreme reality. Okay? And these people can be of three kinds. So when he says ekatvena means through knowledge. So knowing that me who is doing the mananam and the supreme reality is not different. We are one. Ekatvena. Prathaktvena is devotion, path of devotion. where the devotee, but this is, understand that this devotee is of the highest caliber. So like Hanumanji, Mirabai, Tulsidasji, these devotees, where they worshipped, definitely worshipped, you know, Mirabai worshipped Krishna or Hanumanji worshipped Krishna, with a difference, but in their mind, they knew there is no difference. So Prathaktvena, with a difference, I told you last time, I think, Hanumanji was asked, what is your relationship with me? He said, as at the body level, I'm your servant. At the mind level, I'm your devotee. But from the highest standpoint, there's no difference. So that is what is Prathaktvena here. So even though outwardly it appears that the devotee is different and he's worshipping and he's doing all these things, in his mind, he knows. And Bahudha Vishwatomika means everywhere he's seeing the Lord. Some people everywhere, not just one deity, but no matter where they look. So they know Vishwato Mukha, Mukham face. So Bahudha. So many, many faces are there in this world, but they know that they are all the face of the Lord. Okay. So this, that Upasate word in the previous verse, this connects like this to this one. That they do my Upasana and this is how they do it. Either through Jnana Yajna or knowing that they are one with me, or okay, they say that they are different from me, but in their mind they will know, or it's by seeing this thing. So these are the various methods of Upasana, of worship. Okay. Now he is going to, from verse 16 to 19, he will tell his immanent and transcendental nature. And this is what all those people, starting from this Mahatmas, okay? So, So from 13, Mahatma, who does Satatam Kirtayanto, they worship in different forms. They know all this. He is now telling. They know, but for us to know that, he's telling us now. He's telling Arjun, okay? Aham kraturaham yajnaha swadaham aushadam mantroham hamivajam ham agniraham hutam. No. Aham kraturaham yajnaha swadaham aushadham mantroham hamevajam aham agniraham hutam. I am the kratu, I am the sacrifice, I am the offering to pitris or ancestors, I am the medicinal herb and all plants, I am the mantra, I am also the clarified butter, I am the fire, I am the oblation. The word I, aham, here has come 8 times. If you notice, aham kratuhu, aham yajnaha, swadha aham, so aham swadha, aham aushadam, aham mantraha, aham eva ajya, aham agnihi, and aham bhutam. So, does anybody remember any previous verse from any previous chapter? Very good. Which one it is, Rashmi? Unmute yourself.
Chapter 4, Brahma.
Excellent. In chapter 4, verse 24, and which we chant all the time before meals, Brahmar param brahma havihi, brahmagnau brahmanautam, brahmaivatena gantavyam, brahma karma samadhina. This is parallel to that verse. So what he is trying to tell us is, aham kratuhu. Kratuhu is the one who is doing. Okay? So the karma, yajna karma, kratu. Aham yajna. So the action is me. The yajna is me, aham yajna. Swadha aham, aham swadha, one who offers oblation. So the yajman, one who is offering the this thing. Aushadham, aushada in Marathi or Hindi, it means medicine. But in Sanskrit, aushadham includes all plants. All things that we eat actually. And it's called aushadham plants because the plants are what sustain us. right? So that's why. So he says, I am only the, if you're offering, you know, there's munja grass or we offer grains into the fire. So whatever that you're offering, that is also me. He's drawing his attention to the fact that wherever you look, you must remember me because it is me only. Okay. Then mantra that we chant mantras when we do yajna, when we offer, we'll chant mantras. So the mantras are also me. Ajya is ghee. Aham eham eva ajya. Me alone is the ghee that you're offering, is me alone. The fire is there. Aham agnihi. So I am the fire also. Hutam is the oblations that we are putting. You know, what we offer into the yajna fire. So he says that everything I am. Kratuhu is kriyate iti kratuhu. So here, what must be understood is, see, aham is the word that has been used maximum times in the Bhagavad Gita. This is, if you were to see one word which has been used maximum times, it is aham. And when Bhagwan has said aham, it is always from the supreme reality point of view. It is not from the Krishna form or anything like that. Okay, so this is like, Rashmi said, everything is me only. And that's exactly the point he was making in chapter 4. Chapter 4, it was jnana only. This is bhakti. We are going towards bhakti. But even when the yajna is being done, and when people think that the havan kund is there, the fire is there, and I'm here, and I'm offering, and all that, he says, think in your mind that that is also me, and who is offering is also me only. So there is no difference at all. Okay. So this is, he's telling his nature now, his real nature.
Pita hamasya jagato mata dhata pita mahaha vedyam pavitra munkara raksamaya jurevacha.
I am the father of this world, the mother supporter and the grandsire. The one thing to be known, the purifier, the syllable, Om, and also the Rik, the Sama, and the Yajus also. So when he says, Pita Aham, I am the father of this world, what he is indicating is the Nimitta Karana, the efficient cause. So he says that I am the efficient cause of this world. In creation, I've told you, in our material world, in creation, there are three things that are required. One is the efficient cause, and the common example given in our scriptures is of the pot and the pot maker. So the efficient cause is the pot maker, the material cause is the clay, and the instrumental cause is the wheel. Okay, so normally we, and these three are different. The pot maker is not the clay, and the clay is not the wheel. So these three are different in the day-to-day world, in our transactional world. But in case of creation, what happens is they are not different. That is what he's trying to say. He says, I am the father and I am only the mother. And when he says, I am the mother, with father, he says, I am the efficient cause. And with the mother, when he says, I am the mother, I am the material cause. Because the material is coming from there. Okay. So the efficient cause and the material cause both are me. Obviously, the instrumental cause is also him only. Because if we say that the material cause is different from him, then what is it? Then he loses his supreme reality, loses its position of infinite. If we say that there is the supreme reality and the material is over here, that means the infinity is lost. So therefore we cannot say, and the example given in the Upanishads is of the spider and the web. The spider makes the web out of its own saliva and then and it takes it in as well. So he's by saying Nimitta and Upadana Karana, I am, there is no difference between me and my creation. So if you worship the creation, you're worshiping me. Okay, then father generally has a father also. He says, no, that also is me only. So by indicating that he is the, by saying that he is the grandfather, he's indicating that I am causeless. There is no, you cannot go any further than me. I am the supreme, param dhamma, param, param supreme reality. So before Pitama is Dhata. Dhata is the supporter, controller of this world. We have seen in Keno Upanishad, right, that even a blade of grass doesn't move without his consent. So therefore, Dhata is supporter, protector also, karma phala data also, you can take it as giver of the results. But we must not understand that the giving of results is arbitrary, like he's just sitting like, okay, let me give sorrow to somebody, let me give happiness to somebody. The results that are given are based on the karmas done by that jiva, that particular jiva. Okay, I don't say person, I say jiva, because we get results from what we have done in the past, in our past lives. So the jiva was there in the past life, but this form may or may not have been there. So in the jiva, in some other form, has done something good and bad both, and therefore he gets results, he or she, in this life. So that, and Pitama, causeless cause. I am the causeless cause. There is no more cause hunting after you come to me. Vedyam Pavitram Omkaram. Vedyam, to be known. So this Omkara, that is Om syllable, is also me. O and Ma. I think we have discussed this before. Representing the waking, U, the dream, and the deep sleep states. And I am beyond these three states. Or Om also represents, see, is said from the throat, from the throat. There are three places in our mouth from where sounds come. One is the base of the throat. One is the talu, which is the upper portion, palate, you know what they say. And then one is the lips. So this comes from there, and then oo comes from the lips, and ma comes from the top. So basically all the alphabets that are uttered, they come from either one of these three places. So by saying oo and ma, it includes all the alphabets that are there in the what is it called, Varnavali, you know, in all the alphabets. So a, u, and ma is a representation of all the consonants and all the vowels. So all the alphabets are included in Om. Now, any name you take, and it's easy to do it in the English language because I don't know Sanskrit that well. English language has A to Z, 26 alphabets. A, O, and Ma representing all the 26 alphabets. You take any name, take the Webster's dictionary and open it. There is nothing beyond A and beyond Z. There is only between A and Z, all the names, all the words in that entire dictionary, they fall under the gamut of these 26 alphabets. All these names, they have a form. So Om represents all the alphabets. So it represents all the words, all the names. And because it represents all the names, it also represents all the forms. So Om is a representation of this world that we see, because the world is nothing but name and form. You know, there is a form and then I give it a name. This is a form and then I say computer. There's a form, I say scanner. There's a form, I say photo. So the world is nothing but names and forms, and Om represents all the names. So it represents all the forms, and therefore it represents the world. But beyond the Om, there is a silence. And that is the Turiya state, and that is the supreme reality. And therefore this Om Upasana is very, very recommended, popular, because Om is a representation of the supreme reality as well as this world. If you understand it and do that Upasana, both. And there are some people, the way, see, whatever you think and do, you will get that. So some people think of Om as only the waking state, and they meditate. And they meditate. So it's not, so A represents the waking state. It is not like they will go on saying like that. They will say Om, but in their mind, their understanding of Om is only what is happening in the waking state. And so they want things of this world, and they will get that. Whatever you superimpose on that Om, you will get, because Om is a representation of the world. So if you think of Om as representing the world only and meditate on that word as Om, you will get things from the world. That is the power of Om. Upanishad says that. It's like, you know, if you're taking the name Krishna, but in your mind, your child is coming or your grandchild is coming, then it is not that you're calling Lord Krishna. See, when you take the name, that form should come. So if you think that you're meditating on Krishna and you're taking his name, doing Nama Japa, then every time the form of Lord should come, not the form of somebody whom you know as Krishna. So Om, therefore he says this pavitram o pavitra pavehe bhayat trayate iti pavitra, that which trayate, that which protects us from the fear of pavehe. Pavehe is the Indra's thunderbolt, is called pave. So that which protects us. Now one meaning, common meaning of pavitra is pure. Okay, so purity, fearlessness is in when there is no otherness. Okay, and purity also is when there is no otherness, right? If I, how does water is pure? When I add salt to it, it becomes salty or impure. So when you're adding something, or there is a white piece of cloth, if something falls on it, then it is now stained. So by itself, it is clean and pure. But if something else comes in contact with it, it could become impure. So purity, the greatest purity is in oneness. That's why we say that the Lord is extremely pure, because there's nothing else to stain him. There's nothing else, right? So therefore, pavitra, it's translated as pure, but the break of the word is that which gives you fearlessness, because it protects you from Indra's thunderbolt. So fearlessness comes only from purity, and purity is oneness. That is how it is to be understood and reconciled. Because people think, but pavitra means pure, so how do you say that that is gives fearlessness? This is how. Okay, and the Vedas. He has mentioned only three, Rig, Sama, and Yajur, but we have to understand Atharva in it. All four Vedas. That's why it said the Vedas are the breath of the gods. So here he is now declaring it, that I am the Nimitta Karana, I am efficient cause, the material cause, the one that is supporting this, all this whole, you know, world. And then if you come to me and say, but who caused you? Who is your father? I'm only my own father. And know that that Omkara is me. And that's why Omkara Upasana is very, Kathopanishad gives Omkara Upasana, Prashnopanishad also gives Omkara Upasana, Om, the chanting of Om. Okay. Gati bharta prabhu sakshi nivasa sharanam surata prabhava pralayasthanam nidhanam bijam avyayam. I am the goal, the supporter, the Lord, the witness, the abode, the shelter, the friend, the origin, the dissolution, the foundation, the treasure house, and the seed imperishable. So again, look at how many times he's used. He hasn't said aham, but that is to be understood. Gati, goal. Gati means goal, or also can be said as karma phala, because goal is something that you want to achieve, and you will always put action, do action to achieve something. So he says, I am the karma phala, means I am the giver of karma phala. And I do not do that arbitrarily. That is to be understood by us, that if you're the giver of results, then why am I not getting what I want? You know, why are you not giving it to me? Because the reason is that I have not done actions to deserve that result, which I now want. I want this result, but I have not done the action to deserve that result, so I don't get it. So God is a well-wisher, not a wish fulfiller. That is what we have to understand. So we have a lot of wishes, and we say that I want this, I want that, and all that, but we don't see the big picture. So even though he says he is gatihi, and then bharta is not bangan ka bharta, support. So he supports. How does he support? Because he is the substratum of all, right? So just like the snake is supported by the rope, there cannot be a snake without the rope. There cannot be anything in this world without the existence principle. And that's why the isness is there in everything. I've explained this many times. There is nothing between the computer and me. So that isness is there even in the void. So even the void, even the nothingness is supported by the existence principle, because the nothing is existing. Okay, so Prabhu, the Lord, Lord of everything. Okay, but the Lord. Sakshi is the witness principle. Prabhu Sakshi is the witness principle. Sakshi word, witness, Sakshat ikshate iti Sakshi. So that when we see directly is Sakshi. Sakshi word is used in relation to the world. See, you have to understand that actually from the highest standpoint, he's not even a Sakshi, a witness. Why? Because there is nothing to witness. Right? He alone is. What will he witness? Nothing. But so when he says Sakshi, and because he's talking of Gatihi and supporting and all, so he's talking at the level of Ishwara. Because if he goes beyond Ishwara, then really there is no karma phala also, because there are no jivas also. No jivas, there is no karma phala, there is no karta, there is no doer, there is no action, there is no result of action. So that's why Sakshi is saying, because he is witnessing everything. You know, from our standpoint, see, he is within us. Think about it. Think of at the individual level. We know our own thoughts, na? Good, bad, whatever. See, that is how he is the Sakshi. That's how he also becomes Antaryami. You know, like that's why he is the knower of everyone. Within themselves, they know what they are thinking or what they're going to do or what they are. Good, bad, whatever. Whatever they might pretend outside, but inside they know. That's why Sakshi, witness. Nivasa, abode. So I am the final abode. I am the abode of all. That's why Gurudev has come up this. Hari Om is Hari Home. This is how Gurudev is. Hari Home means hurriedly now come back. You've strayed away into the world. Now come back. He is the abode, means that is where we have to reach. You know, when we go out, then in the evening after, even when I'm traveling after a certain time, I'm like, okay, now I want to go home. So abode is a place where we relax, we can be ourselves. Sharanam. So means those who surrender to me, I will release them from miseries. Sharanam. Surata. Surata is a well-wisher, a friend. I told you God is a well-wisher, not a wish fulfiller. A friend, and friend is one who at least tries to remove our sorrows and gives us correct advice. So we might think that the advice is not correct, but who will always tell us the right things. So I'm a friend. If you take both words together, I'm a friend to those who surrender to me. And who is a friend who will always guide you in the right direction? And a friend is one who will give you peace of mind. He will not agitate you. He will not do anything to agitate you. Okay? Prabhava. Prabhava is origin. Udaya, like Prabhava. So origin. And he had already told us that he is the Nimitta Karan and the material cause. So all this creation, where is it coming? It's coming from me alone. I have explained in the previous verse, he said, this whole thing has come from me. By the power of Maya, creation happens. So origin. Pralaya, everything goes back. Like the spider's web. The spider's web comes from the spider's mouth and it goes back into the mouth. So same way, pralaya, also when pralaya happens, everything goes back into him. All these, you see the hierarchies in creation space. First is Maya. First is pure consciousness. Then pure consciousness, when Maya is invoked, is Ishwara. Then from Maya comes space and then air and then fire, water and earth. So when pralaya happens, the earth will dissolve, will drown in the water. Water will get dried up by the fire. Fire will get blown away by the winds. the wind will go into space and space will go back into the reality. Okay, so pralaya, that is what pralaya. Sthanam, the foundation. Rope is the foundation on which the snake sits. There's no snake, but foundation. So he's the substratum. Foundation is what? We build the foundation and then the building comes up, right? So he's the substratum upon which this entire creation or this dance of creation is happening. Nidhanam, again, treasure house. And bijam avyayam. So I'm that imperishable seed. Here this seed must be not taken as an actual seed, because the actual seed can get destroyed. And therefore he qualifies that bija, that word seed, bija, with avyayam. Means I am that indestructible seed. What is the indestructible seed? Is not the actual seed, but the potentiality in the seed to sprout. Every seed has a potential to sprout. So when he says bijam avyayam, he's qualifying that word bijam with avyayam. It means that that potentiality which is there inside every seed, that is what I am. The potentiality remains with every single seed. So that is what I am. So if you can get the drift here, basically he's saying that everything is me alone. There is nothing other than me. Okay. Inner potentiality, yeah, imperishable. Now, next. Tapamyahamaham varsham nigrahnamyutsrajamicha amrutam chaiva mrutyuscha sadasacaham arjuna. Give heed. As sun, I give heed. I withhold and send forth the rain. I am immortality and also death, both existence and non-existence, O Arjuna. So now he's talking about certain controls. He's controlling everything. So aham, tapami aham, tapami aham, tapami heat. Heat is coming only from the sun. So the heat in the sun is me. He'll say this again in chapter 15, that the sun, the heat of the sun, the coolness in the moon, that is me. So here he says that the heat in the sun is me. So some rays will go and then they will evaporate the ocean. What is happening, right? Water evaporates, goes up, stays as cloud, condenses, and comes down as rain. And that is what he's saying here, that I'm the one, I'm the heat, and some rays of mine will go and evaporate the water. Then that evaporated water will go up, become clouds, and then it'll come down as rain again. The same water comes down as rain, goes into the ocean, and goes up. So this cycle keeps going on. So he's the controller. He controls the rains. And if he controls the rains, then life itself is dependent on rain. So everything is being controlled by him. Amrutam chaiva mrutyusha. I'm immortality as well as death. So I am actually, if I'm both, I'm beyond both. So I have no immortality of the devas. That is what I grant because I am immortality. So devas immortality and the death of the mortals. Both I am. So idea is, by saying this, what he's trying to do is, in our mind, for us, we should be able to equate birth and death. See, it's the same thing. If you really look at our rituals, you know, even at birth, they say 12 days, you know, the child is whatever. And then after death also, there are the 12 days. It's because, you see, birth is end of prior non-existence and death is end of, you know, it's posterior non-existence. So when birth happens, somewhere along behind death has happened. When death happens, somewhere birth is going to happen. So both are me. And sad asat aham arjun, he says, I am sad as well as asat. So I am the reality as well as the mithya. Why? Because the mithya is only being supported by the reality. What is mithya? See, what mithya is, the world we say is mithya, is illusory. Who is supporting this illusion? I am the one that is saying that this world is exist. Therefore, in deep sleep, the world doesn't exist for me. When we go to sleep, the world doesn't exist for me. So actually what it is when I wake up, this world comes into being for me. And I'm the supporter. I means I as the consciousness. So the conscious principle, therefore we say, imagine sun gives light to everybody, right? And in the light of the sun, we see things. But who is giving light, who is giving validity to the sun is consciousness. That is the meaning of that verse, na tatra suryo bhati na chandra tarakam. Nema vidyuto bhanti kutoyam agnihi. Tameva bhanta manu bhati sarvam. Tameva bhanta. When you shine, means the pure consciousness shines, then everything around you, anubhati. Anu is following. So after you, once first you shine, after you, everything else shines. So once we wake up, then the sun is there and the moon is there and the world is there. Everything is there. So therefore, we are the reality and we are supporting the asat also. That's what he means here. I'm supporting both sat and asat. The whole point of these verses, that's why we have gone pretty fast. There is not the important part to understand in this is there's nothing other than the Lord, other than the Supreme Reality. That is the basic thing. Now he comes to a very important verse. The next verse is very important. No, the next two. Next two we are going to do together, 20 and 21. So now he talks about those people who pray to him with an agenda. Okay, means this is what I want. Traividya mam soma paputa papa yadne rishtva swargatim prarthayante te punyama sadhya surendra lokam ashnanti divyan divideva bhogan te tvam bhuktva swarga lokam vishalam kshine punye martya lokam vishanti evam trayi dharma matu prapanna gata gatam kama kama labhante. The knowers of the three Vedas, the drinkers of soma, purified from sin, worshipping me by sacrifices, pray for the way to heaven. They reach the holy world of the Lord of the gods and enjoy in heaven the divine pleasures of the gods. They, having enjoyed the vast heaven world, when their merits are exhausted, enter the world of the mortals, thus abiding by the injunctions of the three Vedas, desiring objects of desires, they attain to the state of going and returning samsara. So these two verses are referring to those people who are wanting something other than the Supreme Reality. They want good. So these people are generally those who, they are not body oriented that much. They know that the body is going to die, but they think of themselves as the jiva. So they know that after the death of this body, this jiva is going to go somewhere. And for that jiva, they want heaven because they know that heaven is a place of sukha. There is no dukkha in heaven. Okay. And the example that we have seen is in Kathopanishad, father of Nachiketas. So if, did we do, we have not done Kathopanishad, no? Okay, in Kathopanishad, as the story goes, Nachiketas' father wanted to go to heaven. So when Nachiketas is asked by Lord Yama to ask for three boons, the second boon he asks is that, tell me this Agnihotra, some yajna, because by doing which people can go to heaven. And my father wants to go to heaven and I want to know that. And that is what the information is given. So here when they say the knowers of the three Vedas, Tray Vidya Mam Somapa, Somapa Putapapaha. So this knowledge of the three Vidyas refers to Karmakanda portion of the Vedas. where the karta, the doer, the karma and the karma phala, all three are valid. See, in karmakanda, valid means what? There is reality. They say there is a doer. There is a doer. Okay, he is doing something. And of course, obviously, if somebody is there and somebody is doing something for something, obviously the result is also real. That is the three vidya here. What he says, knows of the three vidyas means they know that I am real. They consider, yeah, I am here. I can do the yajna. And by doing this yajna, I can go to heavens. And therefore, I am doing this. Soma is a fermented drink made out of plants. And this somrasa is generally in yajnas, in the karmakanda portion, they drink. It all belongs to karmakanda. Okay, this is belonging to karmakanda. Now, prarthayante, yajne rishtva swargatim prarthayante. They are praying for swarga, for heaven. Heaven is a place which is only a bhoga bhumi. I told you this earth can be a bhoga bhumi or it can be a karma bhumi. Swarga is only bhoga bhumi. And the bhoga is also only of sukha. There is no dukkha in bhoga. They apparently get a body which doesn't get any diseases. It doesn't fall sick. It doesn't get a cold and flu and this and that and whatnot. So it is only a place of enjoyment. Okay? And it can be attained by doing good deeds, good merits. Human birth is 50% good and 50% bad actions we have done. So therefore, we are in human birth. So we can go either way. But this swarga loka, going to swarga, going to heaven, is only a lot of punya. More punya and hardly any papa. That's what this is. Okay? So that's why they punya, te punya ma sadhya surendra loka. Surendra is Indra. So Indra loka, Indra is the king of the heavens. So they go to this Surendra Loka, means Indra Loka, means the heavens. And then Ashnanti Divyan Divi Deva Bhogan. So they enjoy those pleasures which the Devas are enjoying. Because there you are in their territory. So you will enjoy whatever the Devas are enjoying. Okay? So you know, there are these seven worlds, Bhur, Swaha, Jana, Maha, Tapaha, finally Brahmaloka. So by doing this karmas, karma kanda, you can actually go up to Brahmaloka. Here Bhagwan is only talking about Swargaloka, which is just above us. Tetvam bhuktva Swargalokam Vishala. Vishalam, Vishal is long. So for a long period of time, that period depends on how much punya they've accumulated. It's like how much money I have on my credit card, that much I can go and stay in the resort. And once my credit card is up, I have to come back to again pay back that credit card. So this, but they enjoy for a long period of time in Swarga. Long. Like see how Brahmaji's one day is like so many thousand kalpas and all that, right? So the days are longer. See in Pitruloka, you know, when we do Shraddha Karma, we do once a year, right? But our 1 year is there 1 day. Then you'll get an idea. So by doing Shraddha Karma once a year and feeding them once a year, from our standpoint, we are actually feeding them on a daily basis. Because their 1 day is our 1 year. So the time, concept of time is different in the different lokas. Okay? So there they bhuktva, they enjoy for a long period of time, they enjoy. Kshine punye. Kshine means punya is now getting exhausted, because the more you enjoy, every day you charge on your credit card, your limit is decreasing. Punya, kshine punya, when the punya becomes kshina, means weak, means low. Martya lokam vishanti, come back into this mortal world. Martya lokam, where people die. Swarga loka, they don't die. So here, you have to come back. Evam trai dharmam anuprapanna. So the three dharmas, what anuprapanna is, what is it? Abiding. Huh? So they're abiding by the three. That means they're doing the three. And what is the three dharmas? They have karma, is their dharma for a desire, and then the result. Okay, but these are good people, huh? Because see, they are doing punya karma. Problem is they're doing it with doership. I am doing it. That's why the three Vedas, they think that I am real. I am the doer. The doer is real. The doing is real. And the karma phala is real. So doership and enjoyership is real for them. I will do it and I will enjoy. That's where the difference is between Vedantins and this Karmakanda. Whereas we say that the doer itself is false. We want the supreme reality. We have to negate the doer. So there cannot be doership and there cannot be enjoyership. But they don't say like that. They say that, but they're doing good deeds. It's not like they're doing any bad goods. Gata gatam kama kama labhante. So the kama kama is desirer of desires, desire of desires. Desiring desires, desirer of desires, right? Kama kama. So they have these desires. So they come back and then same thing is happening, coming and going. So there is, you know, back and forth, back and forth. Gata gatam kama kama labhante. So these are the two verses that where we have always said, that's why Bhagwan has always used coming to me, you don't go back. Yad gatva na nivartante. So come to me. So that's why Bhagwan is telling Arjun that, yeah, if you remember in the chapter 2, Bhagwan said, you can do your duty and the doors of heaven will be open for you. Remember? You don't have to knock, like Gurudev says, you don't even have to knock. They'll be wide open for you. You'll walk right in. But the problem is that this is the problem. That when it finishes, you have to come back. And that's why I'm telling you that whatever that you have to do, your duty, do it without doership. That will purify your mind and it will give you that knowledge, final knowledge that you are not the doer. That is all we have to understand, that I am not the doer. Things are happening around me. If we can understand that, then but it's very difficult because we think that we are doing. We think that we have control over things. I control. I did this. I did that. And if you do that, then this is where Bhagwan is now. Very clearly, he says that if you go to the heavens, you will have to come back one day or any higher loka. All right? Okay. So we will read the next verse, but we will go into it next time because the next verse is very important, 22. Here, it's very, very often quoted verse. Yoga kshemam vahami aham. This is what Bhagwan has said. So that is very, very important. So we'll chant this one. I'll give you a little bit of meaning and then if anybody has any questions. Ananya shintayanto mam ye jana paryupasate tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham. To those men who worship me alone. So this is an opposite of 20 and 21. Those people are worshipping for heavens. Please understand, they are worshipping. They are also worshipping. Everybody is worshipping only, but they are worshipping for heavens. But there are others who are worshipping me for me alone, for my sake alone. Thinking of no other, they are thinking of heavens. So they may be thinking of the Lord, but what they are saying is, oh Lord, give me the heavens. So they are not thinking of Lord alone. To those ever self-controlled, I secure which is not already possessed, yoga, and preserve what they already possess, kshema. Yoga and kshema, two very, very important words. So, ananya chintayantoma, ananya chintayantoma, first three words. Ananya, ananya, exclusively the one who thinks of me. So again, we look at this from three different levels. The first one, of course, being knowledge. Because Bhagwan Shankaracharya's commentary, if you read, then he has not left the thread of knowledge, jnana, at all. So when ananya chintayanto, he says, then he says, it is the yogi, it is the jnani, actually, not yogi. I mean, yogi also, but jnani, who sees the substratum in everything. That becomes ananya chintayanto mam. Ananya, exclusively he thinks of me, means not the form of Krishna or not any form for that matter. Because for a jnani, the form is false. The form of Krishna is false. The form of Rama is for everybody, for all forms of. So he is only thinking of that substratum, that existence principle, that Satchit Ananda principle, which is in and through the creation. And therefore he becomes Ananya Chintayanto Mam. He is thinking of me. As long as he's thinking of the substratum, he's Satatam Kirtayanto also, I told you. If you're Jnani, this thing, then constantly you must, so you must always, you will always see the oneness only. If you're looking at the essence, you will always see the oneness. So exclusively he thinks of me. From a bhakti standpoint, wherever he looks, he sees his Ishtadevata. From a bhakti standpoint. And from a yoga, hatha yoga standpoint, he is controlling his tendencies. Sattva, rajas and tamas. So he's trying to go beyond that. So we will go into details, more details next time. There's a lot of details in this one. So, and this is a very important verse. So the other verses that we did today, not that they're not important, but very, pretty simple. Any questions?
JMT, I have one question. You mentioned this Ishlokana Surya Pati Majambhu.
I can't hear you. You're very far from the speaker, I think.
Now is it better?
A little better, but maybe volume should be more.
Okay. Now?
Yeah.
You mentioned this shloka, na surya bhati na chandro.
Yeah.
From this shloka belongs to which text?
Kathopanishad. It comes in many, this thing. That is the verse we chant, na tatra surya bhati. There, the sun doesn't shine. Means in your abode. Na tatra surya bhati na chandra. See, there are five sources of natural light that we know. One is sun, na tatra surya bhati na chandra, the moon, the stars, lightning and fire. These are the sources of light. Na tatra surya bhati na chandra tarakam, stars. Nema vidyuto bhanti na kutoya agnihi. So vidyuta is lightning and agni is fire. So he says there, the mantra says that there means in your abode, these don't shine. It is actually because of you that they shine. Nema vidyuto bhanti kutoya magnihi tameva bhanta manubhati sarvam. Tameva means tameva bhanti. When you shine alone, then that thing. That's why I told you the sun, we think that sun is giving light. But actually, who is giving validity to the sun? If on the planet, if on this earth, there was not a single conscious being, who would validate that there is sun?
My consciousness.
My consciousness. And my consciousness is not different from your consciousness. It is that same consciousness. When we study Kathopanishad, if we study, then that verse in detail we'll take it. It actually comes in more than one Upanishad, I think. One Kathopanishad is how we know. That is what we chant when we receive Swamiji's and all.
Yes.
A very, very important verse, yeah.
Thank you.
Jayaji, can I ask a quick question?
Yeah.
So in verse 15, you were talking about the different ways in which people worship God, and you were mentioning three ways, egatvena, pridatvena, and
yeah.
Which is the third one? I missed
Bahuda, it. Bahuda Vishvato Mukham.
Okay.
Bahuda Vishvato Mukham is there, right?
Seeing oneness in everything, is that what it means?
Ekatvena is knowing that me and prathaktvena, like devote from devotee, where he is praying to the deity. So it feels like he's doing it with a difference, right? Because he never says that I'm this thing. And Bahuda Vishvato Mukham is where he's seeing in everywhere he's seeing. Because prathaktvena, there could be a devotee who is only devoted to one God. Okay. Whereas Bahuda Vishvatomikam means wherever he sees God alone.
In the world.
Different ways of worship. Yeah. Different ways of worship. it doesn't matter how we worship. In our mind, we must be very clear that, you know, that what the substratum is. Outside, yeah. In transactional world, we have to have an altar. We have to light a lamp because we have not reached that stage, right? So that we should be very clear in our mind.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. All right. We will start with that verse 22 next time. So it's that probably will take a whole hour or maybe not. Whatever. We'll see. We'll meet next Monday. Hari Om for now. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Avashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om. Thank you all for attending, and I'll see you next.